This morning we invite you back to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. And we're going to be reading verses 18 down through verse 27. 1 John chapter 2, beginning with verse 18. John writes, "Little children, it is the last time, and as ye have heard, that Antichrist shall come. Even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. I have not written unto you because ye know not the truth, but because ye know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same has not the Father. But he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. Let that therefore abide in you which ye have heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he has promised us, even eternal life. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you. But as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it has taught you, ye shall abide in him." May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of these verses. The passage which is before us this morning is a new section in 1 John. It begins with verse 18 and it goes down through verse 27. In this section we have two warnings, a warning about defectors from the faith and a warning about seducers. In this section also we have words of assurance and encouragement, assurance of divine help in the face of apostasy, encouragement for those who, as believers, encouragement for those believers that they should continue in that of the faith. I've titled the message this morning, and it will be a two-parter: warnings and words of encouragement. Warnings and words of encouragement. This morning, we're going to be looking at verses number 18 through 23. And then this afternoon, we will return and consider verses 24 through 27. As we begin to consider verses 18 through 23, we've all heard people say, "I believe we are living in that of the last days." Are we living in the last days? Why should one say this? Do the scriptures tell us anything about the last days? Is it true that we are living in the last days or the last hour? We've also have all heard people ask the question, "I wonder why those people left the church. Why did they leave the church?" We've also heard people say, "How does one know the truth? There's so many religions and various ideals out there. I don't know what to believe. How can people be so sure of what they believe?" Well, hopefully, as we consider what John tells us here in these verses which are before us, we'll find some answers to these important questions. John begins here in verse number 18, and he writes, "Little children, it is the last time, and as you have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time." John begins this section with that of a favorite address that he has already used several times and will continue to use throughout that of the epistle. And that favorite address is that of little children. John was an aged man. And so as he looked out upon those to whom he was writing to, he was like that of a father, and they his children. The term or the phrase is also a term of endearment. These ones to whom John was writing to, they were ones that was very dear unto him. And it also has the ideal of that of a father who would teach his children. In using the phrase, there is this implication of a father teaching that of his children as he would address them, little children. He writes, little children, it is the last time, and as you've heard, the Antichrist shall come. You know that John begins right off by telling us here with a declaration that it is the last time. What does John have in mind with that of this phrase? In verse 17 of this chapter, John has spoken about that of the world, that of the lust thereof, and note how he writes. He says, "And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." Here he speaks of the world, and he says, this world is passing away. It doesn't have very long before it's going to be gone. That's the implication that John gives us here in this statement. The world is passing away. Earlier in chapter 2, and in verse number 7, I believe it is. Let's see here. I can find the verse where he said from there. Verse number 8. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which things is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past and the true light shineth. Here, John, he tells us in this verse that the darkness is passing or is passing away, and the light is shining. It's getting brighter and brighter. Now, the ideal here that John sets forth in that verse is that the realm of darkness, that it is passing away, and that the light that has shined, which is none other than that of Jesus Christ, He's the light of the world, that light is shining, and it's shining greater and greater, is that of the ideal. And when there is light, darkness passes away. The light removes that of the darkness. So in two places here, John has already spoken with regards to that of something that is taking place and that of the future with regards to that of this world. He says the realm of darkness is passing away, and is passing away because of Jesus Christ. And he says, this world is passing away. Its end is coming. Well, here in verse number 8, John says, little children, it is the last time. Now, the actual word there for time there, in later translations, they translate this as hour. This is the last hour. There are some other phrases in the New Testament that are used by the Apostle Paul and Peter, such as that of the last day, the last time. Over in the book of Hebrews chapter 1, if you'll turn there with us, Hebrews chapter 1, the writer of Hebrews writes, beginning with verse number 1, He writes, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. Now, the writer of Hebrews here, he speaks of that of God speaking in the past, and then he speaks of that of God speaking in the present. He says, and God has in these last days, verse 2, days spoken unto us by his Son. Note how the writer terms that of this time, the present time. He terms it as that of the last days. And he says, God has spoken to us in these last days through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Over in 1 Peter, I believe it is, 1 Peter chapter 1, and in verse number 20, we'll back up to verse number 18 to get the context. Peter writes, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. Here, Peter, in speaking of that of the Lord Jesus and that of his death, he speaks of it having taken place, being manifested here in these last times. Now, one might ask, well, how could it have been the last times, or that of the last hour, in that of Peter's day and that of John's day, and here we are living today? Good question. And what is the answer? John, Peter, and Paul, as far as they were concerned, Jesus had come, and the next major event that would bring that of him coming back to earth was the event that they were focused on. That's the next major event. It's the last event. History is broken up between that of the time prior to the cross of Christ and the time after the cross of Christ. Christ came right dab in the middle, beloved, of that of history. His cross is the pivot. As we look back to the past and we look forward to that of the future. John, Peter, and Paul, they were expecting, beloved, the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, I'm going to return. Were they wrong? No. You see, God's timing is totally different from ours. We think of a day, we think 24 hours. We think of time differently. An hour, well, you know, we think of 60 minutes. Well, not necessarily so with God. We don't know at what point we're in that last hour, or that of this last time period. But as John and the Apostle Paul and that of Peter, as they viewed it, it was the end was near. The end was near. Okay, John. How do you know? Verse 18, he writes, little children, it is the last time. And as you have heard that Antichrist shall come. Even now are there many Antichrists whereby we know that it is the last time. The last time or the last hour is characterized by the rise of Antichrist. He writes, it is the last time and ye have heard that the Antichrist shall come. Even now are there many Antichrist. And then he goes on to say, at the very end of that verse, whereby, or this is how, we know that it is the last time. How? Because there are many, many Antichrist. He says, you've heard that the Antichrist shall come. His readers, they had been taught. They had heard, beloved, that there would be one that would come. That would be the Antichrist. One that would. And the word Antichrist means one who opposes Christ. They had heard that he would come. But you'll note here that John makes a difference between the Antichrist that they had heard of and Antichrist. He speaks of Antichrist or a number of them. Plural. He uses the plural there. In contrast to that of what he says there in verse number 18 in the beginning, this is the last time and you have heard of that Antichrist. Now, there's various opinions. I say to you, as we look over in the book of the Revelation, which John is also that of the writer, it is a prophetic book. We find in Revelation chapter 13 that of one that is described as a beast. John sees a beast rising up out of the sea, blaspheming God. Humans are forced to worship an image of the beast from the sea. The beast performs miraculous signs to deceive the inhabitants of the earth, and the beast makes war against the saints. Paul, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, speaks of the man of sin. I believe that we can say that John and Peter both, they spoke of that one who would arise, who would oppose God. But what John is telling us, there's already Antichrist. Many. And as you read the Gospels and you read what Jesus says, beloved, Jesus tells us there's going to be many who's going to come in that of His name. Many who are going to come and they would seek to deceive even the very elect of God if possible. Which is, it's not. He says, even now are there many Antichrists whereby we know that it is the last time. Or in other words, John says, right now. Right there, not now, this very moment, there are many Antichrists. And it's by this fact that there are many Antichrists we know. We know that it is the last time or the last hour. The darkness. The end. For the world is near, John says. Now it's in light of what John writes here that we come to verse number 19. John goes on then to say, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. Now, as we've already noted in various of our studies of 1 John here, John, he speaks of those who had left the community of believers. And in this verse, he is speaking of those very ones. He says, they went out. Well, who are these? We said that they were the ones who had left. Well, who are they? Well, they went out. They left us. That's one description of them, which John gives us. They went out from us. So they were ones who had been amongst them. But they left. But they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. John now goes on to describe them as ones. He says, if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. Now, what is he speaking of here? He's speaking, beloved, of the very fact that they would have continued with them in that of fellowship with them and in that of the same faith, that same apostolic faith that John and all the other apostles had, and these ones whom John was writing to, who were also believers and believed the same apostolic faith. He said they would, if they would have been of us, they would have no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. John says these ones, they left us. And he says there was really a purpose for that. You know, sometimes we see things take place and we don't understand. We don't understand the reason why. And then when we begin to understand the reason why, we see, well, there was indeed a reason and there was a purpose that it took place. Well, John says they went out from us, might be made manifest or made known, revealed that they were not all of us. Now, who is John speaking of? He's giving us a description here. I say to you, in context, as we look back to verse number 18, and John describing the very fact that it's the last time or the last hour, and he says, you've heard the Antichrist shall come. He says, even now are there many Antichrists whereby we know that it is the last time. They, who? The Antichrist, plural. They went out from us. Now, it's important that we understand who these ones were. The Antichrist. Anti meaning against. These ones whom John was speaking of here, beloved, were ones who were against Christ. They were ones who were opposed to Christ. They didn't believe that Jesus was indeed the Christ, the anointed one of God. They didn't believe that he was the Messiah, the one that God had spoken of and promised in the very beginning, and that promise being fulfilled, and that fulfillment being that of him. They didn't believe that Jesus, the Christ, the one born in this world of the Virgin Mary, who had that of a human body, had flesh like you and I, that he was indeed the very Son of God manifested in the flesh, and that he came and that he gave his life upon the cross for the payment of sins for all who would believe upon him. They didn't believe this. In verse 20, he says, "But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things." Woo! You take that verse and go wild with it. But there is, even though the word "but" here is "chi" in the Greek, and normally "chi" is a conjunction that is a contrasting conjunction as we would think of it. There is really a contrast here. But, and it's a contrast between those spoken of back in verse 19, those that John describes as that of the Antichrist, plural, Christ's, plural, back in verse number 18. He says, "But ye," in contrast to them, "ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things." That pronoun "ye," yes, it is in the plural. John, as he writes to these ones who are believers in Jesus Christ, he's addressing all of them, every last one of them, who are ones who are believers in Jesus Christ. And he is telling them, he says, "Ye have an unction from the Holy One." Now, I've already answered one of the questions I have down in my notes. Who is the "ye"? The next two questions that I have is what does John mean by unction? And then, who is the Holy One that John speaks of here? The word unction comes from a Greek word which means anointing. In the Old Testament, anointing was usually done for the purpose of consecration or the setting aside of an individual or object for a particular sacred purpose. An example of that of Aaron and his sons being set apart to that of the priesthood. Over in that of Exodus chapter 29 and verse 7 we see. Anointing later came to signify that the Spirit of God has come to dwell within an individual so that he can either rule or prophesy for God. In 2 Samuel chapter 16, verse 13, it says, "And as David and his men went by the way, Shemuel went along on the hillside." That's wrong. That's the wrong passage. It must be 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 16. And verse number 13. No, that's not the verse either. All right, David was anointed by that of Samuel when he was being set apart to be the king over Israel. And likewise, the other kings were anointed in that of the same manner. In the Old Testament, it did speak of that of the Holy Spirit coming upon the one and them having the ability to rule and also to prophesy, and especially with regards to that of David. The anointing which John describes here is the one that the readers have from the Holy One and refers to the Holy Spirit with whom they had been endowed by God when they first believed and who confirmed the truth of the message that they had heard at that time in their hearts. Beloved, when you were saved, if you're saved here this morning, I was saved. Even though we didn't realize all of that was going on, perhaps, But the word of God was proclaimed. The Spirit of God took that word, beloved, and impressed that message upon that of our hearts, working within us, giving us grace to repent and to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And beloved, the Spirit of God came to dwell within us. We were sealed by the Holy Spirit. John tells these ones, ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. The third question, who is the Holy One? Well, God is spoken of in the Old Testament as the Holy One of Israel. In the New Testament, we see Jesus Christ being spoken of as that of the Holy One in several places. There are several passages in the Gospel of John, and of course, I could have had the reader this morning read those different passages from that of the three chapters, John 14, John 15, and John 16, but I chose to only have John 14 read. But we're going to read these verses, and we want you to take note of some things, because they do give us some information here about that one of whom John is speaking of here. In John 14, well, actually, the way I have it, the first set of verses that we're going to look at speak of the Comforter being sent by Jesus. In John 15, Jesus says, but when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. Here we see Jesus, and he's speaking, and he speaks of the fact that he is going to send that of the Comforter. And he says, he shall testify of me. In chapter 16, verse 7, he says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. So here's two places that speak of Jesus. And Jesus is speaking, and he tells us that he will send that of the Holy Spirit. In the second set of verses, they speak of the Comforter being given and also sent by the Father. In John 14, Jesus says, and I'll pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. And then in John 14, verse 26, he speaks, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. So in both of these verses, we see that the Father is spoken of as having given the Spirit, or giving the Spirit, and that of sending the Spirit. You say, well, what does that have to do with that of our text which is before us? But you have an unction from the Holy One. Beloved, Jesus tells us this anointing, this unction, this anointing, Holy Spirit, is from the Father and the Son. He tells us it's a gift of the Father. He tells us that Jesus says that he will testify of me. He shall lead you into truth. Now, coming back to our text, John writes, but ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. How do you know all things, and what do those things refer to? Well, first of all, the unction from the Holy One. And secondly, the answer to the question, ye shall know all things, must be kept in that of context. And the context has to do with that of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ being the anointed one, the Messiah. Beloved, the message of Jesus, that he is the Messiah, the anointed of God, the Holy Spirit made that message real to your heart individually, just as he did it to my heart. He says, you know all things. You know. Verse 21, he says, I have not written unto you because you know not the truth. In other words, John says, I'm not writing to you because I believe you need instructions with regards to this, or that you're unknowing, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Now, what is he speaking of here? Beloved, he's speaking of that of the truth concerning Jesus. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same has not the Father. But he that acknowledges the Son hath the Father also. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is the one who is the Antichrist. Antichrist. That denieth the Father and the Son. You say, well, Antichrist is those who are opposed to Christ, not to the Father. John says, who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is Christ? He is the Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. And then he goes on to explain, whosoever denieth the Son, the same has not the Father. He's denied the Father also. You deny the Son, you deny the Father. He goes on to say, you acknowledge the Son, and you have the Father also. You do acknowledge the Father. You can't acknowledge one without the other. You won't acknowledge the one without the other. You can't have one without the other. Application. We're living in the last days, the last hour. That's the first application. John tells us this. And beloved, just as it was in John's day, there are many antichrists in that of our day. There are many who are in opposition to that of Christ, and they're in opposition to God. John is going to give us further details about that of these ones whom he describes as Antichrist as we get on further into the epistle. Over in chapter 4, he gives some information. Beloved, there's many. Whether or not we want to acknowledge it, there are many who stand. And beloved, they teach contrary to the truth of Jesus Christ and His work. You might get away with mentioning the name God in public without very little opposition. But I say to you, mention Jesus Christ, and you'll see the army of Satan, the devil, come after you. People do not want to hear the name Jesus. That doesn't mean that we shouldn't. I'm just telling you ahead of time. Why do we see people leave the church? Well, the answer is, this question is one in which charity and care must be taken, I would say to you, first of all. The answer to this question also comes with multiple reasons. And some of the reasons are legit at times. Leaving a particular church or an assembly. But John, in our passage, he speaks of ones who left because they did not believe the truth concerning Jesus Christ. They were defectors from the faith. They left the faith. They were apostates. They were ones who rejected Jesus Christ. Oh, they confessed, they professed they were believers in Jesus Christ at one point in time. They were in the community, and there was nothing to indicate that they were any different from that of others that were in the multitude or that of the community. But the very fact, beloved, that they defected from the community. And beloved, it wasn't one where they just, you know, casually left. But you know what? Down further, John says in verse number 26, he says, "These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you." Beloved, these ones were not, it wasn't enough for them to leave. And to leave quietly. Beloved, they were ones who left rejecting that of the truth concerning Jesus Christ. And beloved, they wanted others to leave with them. How does one know the truth? Where do we have the truth? Right here. And John tells us that we have an unction from the Holy One. Beloved, we can know the truth as we read the Scriptures, and beloved, pray to God to give us His understanding of His Word. And beloved, the very fact that we have the Holy Spirit, Jesus told us He'll lead us into all truth. You say, well, then, do we need men to teach us then? God has ordained and given unto the church gifted men. For the perfecting of the saints. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 and 12, he writes, "And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ." You listen to a man and he preaches something and you say, "No, that's not right. That's error. That's falsehood." That's the Spirit of God working in you, revealing to you what that man is teaching is contrary to this word. Beloved, when the man stands and preaches the Word of God, the very Word of God, the truth. And beloved, the Spirit of God takes that message and presses upon your heart. You know it's the truth. You know it's the truth. Your heart overflows with it out of joy at the truth that is being proclaimed. You know it. I'd close this morning by asking the question, what do you believe about Jesus Christ? What do you believe about Jesus Christ? Do you believe that He is the Christ? The Anointed One? The one God sent into the world without a work to do, to give His life for the payment of sins, and that all who believe upon Him, that they may know the forgiveness of sins and the hope of eternal life, the sure hope of eternal life. Do you believe that? Have you believed upon Him? Have you trusted in Him for that of your sins, the payment of your sins, and that of that sure hope of eternal life? Let us stand. Let's take our bulletins if you have one. And we'll close by singing the first two stanzas of Saved by the Lord.
Saved by the blood of the crucified one, now ransomed from sin and a new work begun. Sing praise to the Father and praise to the Son. Saved by the blood of the crucified one. Pray that you would give us illumination.
nations understanding. Lord, may we grow in grace and knowledge about your Son. Lord, may thy Holy Spirit truly be our teacher. Father, give us, we pray, the things of Christ. Lord, we pray that you would help us to be faithful in these last days. Lord, may we be watchful. May we wait for the glorious revelation of thy dear Son. Now, Father, as we part, pray that thy word would strengthen each of us. Lord, may we feed one another on the things of Christ, Lord, Christ himself. Lord, may we know your fellowship, your leading and guidance. Direct us now as we go into the world. Lord, may we come back this evening. Lord, may we hear more from thy precious word. Father, these things we pray.